not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Monkees. Remember them? I used to think of them as the Beatles Light. Made for TV band. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us on this first day of March, Friday, March the 1st. We got a busy show. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk to her about the rights of social media platforms to make their own content decisions. Is that right being taken away by the government? We're going to talk to her about that. Stay tuned in just a few minutes. And it is a trip to the border for both Joe Biden and Donald Trump yesterday, in an effort to show their concern for the illegal immigration fiasco. We are going to talk about how that all played out. Stay tuned for that as well. And what is the truth? For those of you that like coffee, like I do, what is the truth about that first cup of coffee in the morning? How long should you wait after you get up to drink that first cup of coffee? There is some debate about that. We are going to give you the latest scoop, as it were. So stay tuned for that as well. And speaking about food, our ultimate top 10, I think this is a good one, Ed, the top 10 ballparks with the cheapest hot dogs. Now, there you go. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. All right, Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I have never found a better location than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. Great haircut, great price, great ambiance. They're in the Overcash Plaza just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And if you need any kind of work with a tree, do you want trees? Do you want to get rid of trees? Do you want stump grinding? Do you want to enhance the trees you have? ArborLife Tree Service, they do it all. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Please call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So Donald Trump, he can't help but be in the spotlight all the time. Now, Illinois, my old home state, an Illinois county judge says Donald Trump should be booted from the state's primary battle, even though the Supreme Court has yet to decide whether states can stop him from being listed as a candidate. Cook County Judge Tracy Porter, yes, it's a woman, made the decision on Wednesday to take Donald Trump off the ballot in Illinois. This is going to go nowhere. She had to stay her decision. She suspended it actually until today, leaving time for an appeal, and wrote that she was aware that, quote, her decision could not be the ultimate outcome. You know, I wonder, is this a way for these judges to get recognition?
Yes.
I'm beginning to think. I mean, these are nobodies, with all due respect to her. Nobody knows who she is. Even the people of Illinois don't know who she is.
She up for re-election?
I don't know.
Usually that's the case.
You think so?
Yeah.
In Illinois?
Yeah. And a little splash, you know.
Yeah.
Name in the paper.
Yeah, but it can work against her. Mm-hmm. You know? Think about the people that would like her recalled for doing this.
But she tried.
Yeah. So, as you may know, Colorado tried this little trick in December. They ruled that Trump was ineligible to be on their ballot. First time in history that a section of the 14th Amendment had been used to disqualify a presidential candidate. In both these cases, they're talking about the so-called involvement of Trump in an insurrection, something he was never even charged with. I mean, how do these judges take it upon themselves to not only charge him, but to find him guilty of it, and then to rule that he must not be on the ballot? Talk about judges that have no business being judges. This is ridiculous. I mean, it even defies logic. The High Court, the Supreme Court, set to decide on this controversy soon and appeared doubtful of previous arguments to kick Trump off any ballot. So we'll see pretty soon, I think. Hopefully they'll rule unanimously that he is going to be allowed on every ballot, since he has not been found guilty of an insurrection by anybody.
He didn't even charge, like you said.
So anyway, enough about that nonsense. Hey, did you know that there's a primary going on in Washington, D.C., and that Nikki Haley has a big chance of winning the primary? Republican voters...
Is none of the above not running?
Well, Republican voters in D.C. are the next to decide on who their party wants at the top of this year's presidential ticket. There are four Republicans that live in Washington. Mm. This primary represents Nikki Haley's best shot at winning a victory. The primary will take place actually starting today over the weekend. It's a three-day event in Washington, D.C., with the polls opening today and not closing until Sunday night. The city's 19 delegates will be up for grabs, all 19 being awarded to the candidate who gets over 50% of the vote or being awarded proportionally if no candidate crosses the 50% threshold. Candidates with less than 15, that's 15%, will be ineligible to get any delegates. So that's about all you have to know there. If there's anywhere where there are fewer Republicans than Democrats, it is Washington, D.C.
Oh, maybe then drinks will be on Nikki there that night.
Maybe so. Yeah. We'll have to keep an eye on that one, right? Mm. So do we have time to talk about the border? I guess we do. President Biden goes down to...
Yeah, you made a mistake earlier.
What did I say?
You said they took a trip to the border.
Yeah, he didn't really go to the border.
Donald Trump took a trip to the border.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Joe Biden tripped on the border.
President Biden, in a visit to the southern border, renewed his calls for Republicans to back a controversial bipartisan Senate border agreement. As illegal immigration continues to be a major political headache for the administration. By the way, this is it's the furthest southern point in Texas where he was. Almost is as far south as Miami.
We've got help on the right side because the ocean is there.
Yeah, that's
exactly
right.
The Gulf of Mexico
right.
is there.
Hardly anybody goes through there to cross on the border. In the meantime, that's Brownsville, Texas we're talking about.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Trump goes over to Eagle Pass, Texas. And I was watching. They had a split screen on Fox News. You could see both of them there. Biden didn't know where he was. I'm not kidding you. He was stumbling around. They had to lead him by his hand, you know, and he's like a zombie wandering around.
I'm telling you,
you feel sorry for him.
He's done in office finally, or even now, he gets endorsed by that Zumba automatic vacuum cleaner, you know, the one that just rolls around and only... What's it, is it Zumba?
Bumps into the corners,
something like
turns,
that. Yeah,
and walks away from it.
Yeah, and it just kind of meanders all around the room.
President Zumba, that might be a new name for him. So we're going to talk more about that later. A very interesting situation, kind of a split-screen information. But let's do this. We're going to take our break, and an old friend of ours, Jessica Malugin, is going to join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk with her about the rights of social media platforms to make their own content decisions.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On Freedom Works. It's Friday, TGIF, and it's also the first day of March. All kinds of things going on, and we are delighted to have an old buddy back, Jessica Malugian, who is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, is joining us, and we're going to talk about a case being heard by the Supreme Court that has to do with the rights of social media platforms. You know, they get slapped around quite a bit these days in terms of what is going on with free speech rights and the like. And yet, think about it. Don't they have a right to oversee what's going on content-wise, you know, with their platforms? Jessica, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you. You're always right on the cutting edge of technology, and so we got a couple of cases that the Supreme Court is going to hear. Can you tell us a little bit about this as it concerns the rights of social media platforms?
You bet. So what's at issue here is a law that was passed in Texas and a similar but not exactly the same law that was passed in Florida. And what these laws basically say is, hey, social media platforms, you can't take things off your platform that other people have posted, users have posted, like we all do, if it's not content neutral. So basically, you can't discriminate just because you don't like this message or disagree or whatever. And there's a few problems with that, right? I think it's helpful, as I explain it to people, you know, social media networks, if you go on Twitter or X, so I guess now, TikTok, all these places, it's not really the public square. It's a private company. So things work a little different with free speech because of that. It's more like going to Disneyland. When you go to Disneyland, you take in your kids, you buy a ticket, you have a tacit agreement in there that you're not going to stand in line and scream obscenities or get into fist fights. They're in control of a certain amount of your behavior because you're on their property. And that's sort of the principle at work. These companies are saying, hey, you know, we're not the public square. The First Amendment isn't designed to protect people from our preferences. The First Amendment's actually designed to protect us from the government telling us that we have to carry speech that we don't want to. And that's what those laws say. They say you can't take it down just because you don't want it there. And, of course, that's a constitutional problem. But that's also a problem because what we would see as users when we go online would be a whole bunch of really unpleasant, unwanted garbage that those companies take down before we even see it every day. Billions of posts they take down, violent, offensive. And of course, our definitions of what we'd be tolerant of seeing will change from person to person, right? That's fine. We can work that out in the marketplace of ideas, and those companies are sensitive to it. I don't think those companies take things down always because they disagree with it. A lot of times they take it down because they don't want a video of someone's head getting chopped off appearing next to their advertiser's banner, right? The good people who advertise on these platforms and pay for them don't want their ads up against things that would be really off-putting and offensive to us users. So there's a lot more at work than just, you know, we should make it a free-for-all, and anyone can do anything they want on these platforms. I think that impulse comes from a good place, the reality is a little different.
Very well put, Jessica. And I think you also make a very good analogy when you talk about going into somebody's backyard. When you wander into a neighbor's backyard, you got to play by their rules. I mean, it's their backyard. You can't wander into somebody's backyard without their permission. If they give you the permission, you follow what the general ruling is. I mean, you're allowed to possibly wander freely as long as you're not upsetting the rest of the group.
Well, it's just the difference between, you know, I have a right to endorse a candidate, right? I can say what I want to say in the public square. I probably don't have a right without your permission to come over and throw a fundraiser for that candidate in your front yard.
There you go.
Right? And there's different limits in different places, and it's messy and it's complicated. And this Supreme Court case is getting to affirming sort of the rules of the game about that.
Yeah.
And I hope what the court will say is, even though everyone might not like these decisions that the companies make, and I get that. There's been some wacky decisions about deplatforming people and all of that, I understand. But the point is those decisions are protected by the First Amendment. Even when we don't like it, you know, that's why we wrote it all down. That's why the Founding Fathers wrote it down, because they knew there were going to be instances where we're like, well, we don't really want to protect free speech. I mean, this is really unpleasant. So we wrote it down in the Constitution. And even when we're uncomfortable with the outcomes of that some of the time, you know, that's what we're all here to preserve, those principles, right? Sometimes they work for you, sometimes they work against you, but we know that they comprise the greatest nation on earth.
There you go.
So even when we don't like what a decision Google or Facebook has made, I can completely relate. I'm still here to defend their right to make those decisions.
We're talking with Jessica Malugia. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're talking about the Supreme Court, which on Monday heard oral arguments on, is it more than one? Is it, or is this all one?
Yeah, they've kind of combined. The laws are similar. They heard it on the same day. So there was a set of arguments about the Texas case, and then there was a set of arguments about the Florida case. But the big question at issue is the same in both cases, okay. So they had that on the same day.
Do
state governments have the right to force these social media companies to carry speech that they wouldn't want to otherwise?
Right. You know, this is an ongoing issue. Ever since we invented radio, I would suspect, where you have some sort of so-called public air waves, people are arguing about what you can do and what you cannot do with it. And some people would say, okay, so the social media platform is now on the airwaves, but the airwaves should be totally free, and even though they're there, you know, it's the public's right to use the airwave. Well, this is where I guess it gets down to the nitty-gritty. You know, years ago it was, if a radio or a television station brought a particular political person on with a political viewpoint, there was something called the Fairness Doctrine.
Yep.
And you know about that, Jessica, and that meant that same network or television or radio station had to bring somebody on with an opposing viewpoint. But that was so hard to administer.
Sense.
Go ahead.
Who's the arbiter of that, of what is the opposing position? Maybe there's six different opinions.
Right.
Do you have to put them all on? And I'll tell you an interesting kind of data point in that is when Ronald Reagan finally got rid of that Fairness Doctrine, what happened? The rise of conservative talk radio, right?
Yes.
That wasn't happening with the Fairness Doctrine because they didn't have to do all that. When he took the shackles off and said, all right, marketplace, you sort out what opinions go over the airwaves based on what people want to hear, that worked so much better for the right half of America, right?
Yes.
We've had so much more speech, and I'll tell you that, you know, that's a fundamental problem with radio, is the lack of sort of property rights at that spectrum. We don't have those fundamental problems on social media, so we shouldn't pretend like we do, right? We should learn from the past and not put those kind of shackles on the company.
No.
And the other thing I will say, which is great about the internet, is however big Meta is and however big YouTube is, the internet is infinite. There's always room for the next social media platform and to cater to someone else's preference.
Exactly.
You shouldn't get in the way of that.
As an example, you mentioned Google, and I was thinking about Google anyway. And Google gets into all kinds of trouble. And the truth is, we know about the artificial intelligence, and now we know that George Washington was really a black man, because the...
Yeah, I missed that.
So Google, you know, takes a point of view, and yet look at the high percentage of people that access Google for their own purposes to get certain information, but they have to realize they're going into Google's backyard. And so Google might have a point of view and maybe not even give you all of the choices you would seek. But yet now you can see that there are other, whatever you want to call, Google clones, whatever you want to call them, that are out there. You can go use their platforms, because in the marketplace, when you have choices, okay, you don't like this particular point of view, get off that platform. There's another one down the road.
And that works so much better than regulating everything to death. And I will say about the Google Gemini crazy AI images, that happened last week. It was obviously bonkers. But here's the deal. Google lost $90 billion of market value on Monday.
Wow.
There's a market signal for you, right?
Yes.
There's a correction. They
Big time.
The product. They're working on it around the clock. The CEO has apologized. I mean, they're eating crow.
Yes, they are.
You know, that's how it's supposed to work. I promise you. You would not have all of that progress in a week if you tried regulating it.
Exactly right.
Right? So much quicker to let consumers vote with their wallets and their eyeballs. And, you know, they get what they deserve. And that's how markets should work, right? We're at the frontier here. Things are messy. People are going to make mistakes. I don't care if they did it on purpose or they just really blew it. The point is, it's going to get fixed. That's what I want. I want consumers to get the best possible product.
You make so much sense, Jessica. It scares me.
You know. Thanks. I'm going to quote you on that.
I mean, you really do. What do you think I would think the Supreme Court is going to tend to feel the same way you are expressing your thoughts on this. What is the timetable for all of this, do you think?
Well, we'll have a decision before June, the end of the term. I mean, they could come out with something early, but they're awfully busy still hearing cases. So
yes,
I would look forward to early summer. Yep. And I think, you know, I'm hopeful they'll uphold the First Amendment. There's a lot of good case law to let them do that. I think the dodge could be that they could just leave the hold in place on these laws, but send it back down to lower courts to sort it out in more detail. That's fine. That's not a loss for us, but it would be nice to just have them come out strong, swinging for the fences with the First Amendment and say, okay, enough of all this silliness. This is private property. Leave these companies alone.
Indeed. Well, we'll keep an eye out for it. And Jessica, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much. Happy Friday, everyone.
All right. There she goes, Jessica Malugin. All right. We're going to take our break. And, excuse me, when we come back, among other things, what is the truth about that first cup of coffee you take in the morning? And how long should you wait after you wake up to take it? We're going to give you the latest scoop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive. Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Thank you so very much for being with us. An awful lot going on. I guess Hunter Biden finally sat down behind closed doors Wednesday, started chirping a little bit. He admitted during his deposition on Wednesday that he put his father, Joe Biden, on speakerphone with his business associates and invited him to drop by business lunches while maintaining that his father was never involved in his business dealings. This is according to a transcript that came out on his testimony. He sat for a deposition on Wednesday. He was there for more than 7 hours as part of an impeachment inquiry against his dad. During the deposition, he testified repeatedly that dad was not involved in his business dealings. When pressed about testimony from his ex-business associates like Rob Walker and Devin Archer, both of whom claim Hunter put his dad on speakerphone when doing business and attended business lunches and meetings, Hunter said that it was normal behavior as he was speaking to his father and spending time with his dad. So, you know, it's one of these, nothing to see here, even though good old dad was sitting there next to me while I was pocketing all kinds of money. Dad was just sitting there talking about the weather with the guys, you know.
I understand the majority of his answers were, I was either drunk or high, so I don't remember.
Yeah, it might have been true.
Oh, he was.
And he uses it as an excuse. In fact, he said, on the one hand. You know, there's no excuse. It's like saying, yeah, well, I was drunk when I ran over the woman. You can't blame me. I was drunk.
His response to his dad being on the speakerphone is because he was drunk.
There you go. Let's wipe our hands clean. Walk away from this. He says, when asked if he ever placed dad on speakerphone with his business associates, he testified that certainly my dad has called me. My dad calls me like I'm sure a lot of your parents do, or a lot of you do with your kids. And if I'm with people that are friends of mine, I'll have them say hi. Yeah, he happens to be the vice president of the United States at the time. He just wants to say hi. They wanted dad to say hi to him, so they said hi. Has nothing to do with the money I'm making. Just said hi. So that's that. In the meantime, Mayorkas, you remember that they impeached Mayorkas? I mean, are they going to do anything other than impeach him? Is that it? Well, Senate Republicans are coming out in favor of holding a trial for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who was impeached for his actions more than a couple weeks ago. A growing list of Republican senators, and they're not all hardline conservatives, voicing their support for a full impeachment trial, and let's get on with it. Let's see. Has to be taken up by the Senate, where the trial will be held. So guess who's running the Senate?
Yeah.
The Democrats and Chuck Schumer. So Chuck Schumer is tabling it. He's not going to bring it up.
No.
Well, they're going to put pressure on him to do that.
Like I said, this is just another waste of time
and
money.
It is, because it's not going to get anywhere. You know, you're not going to get two-thirds of the Senate to throw out Mayorkas. There's no question about it.
Even if you establish connection there, then you got to go back and try to establish connection between him and his dad when he was vice president and all that stuff. And that hopefully will all happen by the time he's out of office, and nobody's going to care anyway.
It just seems unfair that they're taking millions of dollars from overseas foreign interests.
Don't care.
I do, actually. I think that there's something should be done. If you've been the vice president and you're taking payoffs from other countries, that's treasonable.
But
that's treason.
The good old days, if you had bank records, which they supposedly clearly have, I mean, that is evidence right there. And you go before even the IRS and show them all this money that's coming from overseas, and you can't explain it, boy, they crawl up your behind faster than whatever. And if you're in office, well, by golly, you just put that out there in the media that you had offshore accounts and all this stuff, whatever, and down you go. But it's just, you know, the media these days, they just pick and choose what they're going to put out there.
Well, had it been Trump, we've talked about this a million times.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
Can you imagine if Trump and his family were involved in taking payoffs from China, Ukraine, Russia's, the wife of the mayor of Russia's making a payoff to you? Can you imagine how the media would have jumped down the throat?
Eric Trump and Junior Trump and Trump himself, it'd all be hanging from the nearest tree. Mm. Right now.
But you know, nothing to see here when it comes to Biden.
No.
Oh, he's an old man. You got to leave the guy alone. We have to treat him delicately. He's in a different zone.
He's an old guy now. We don't need to prosecute him. Come on.
So, they were both at the border. I watched a lot of that.
I did too.
It was like night and day difference.
Yeah.
When Trump was there, he was with the governor of Texas. They were there at Eagle Pass. He was alert. He had different people speak on his behalf. The security people were there with, the border people were there touting Trump. And then you have Biden on the other side. He seemed to have to be led around. He almost seemed like...
It's kidding.
It was almost sad to watch him. It was like, where do I go next, you know?
It's getting worse.
Literally, and at one point, did you hear some of the banter? Oh, I got to stand over. They tell me I have to stand over here on this mark.
Can you imagine that? Yeah.
This guy is so totally a puppet of other people now. And, I mean, would you allow Joe Biden to drive you anywhere?
No.
Would you get the car that Joe Biden was driving and get on 275? Would you do that? I wouldn't.
He couldn't greet customers at Walmart, for crying out loud. And here he is. He's running the country. He doesn't need a cognitive test because it's just not that important.
So all of this is going on, and the only reason he went down there, A, because Trump was going down there, because Trump made a decision sooner than he did, and B, because it's coming closer and closer to an election, and they're finally realizing, the Democrats, that the biggest issue we have is not the economy, it's the border. The border is the number one issue now on the minds of Americans.
You know, I took one of those cognitive tests.
Oh, you did?
You can take one online.
Oh, really?
It's rather basic, but it'll give you a decent score. I think my score was like 93 or something like that.
In other words, you're not senile yet.
No, I'm still working.
That's good. I didn't think you were.
But I can see where if your brain wasn't there, that if it drifts, you know, and it's all time-based, you know, how long it takes you to answer a question.
Yeah.
But I think it's brainmd.com or something like that.
How can speaking of that, of course, they just announced that Biden went in and he got a health checkup. Of course, they didn't check him cognitively.
No.
That would be the first thing I'd want to check. If I was a doctor worth my degree, I would certainly want to check his cognitive functions.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, it's all politics. But the guy's just another actor on a stage.
And this was the day before yesterday, right? That he had that test?
I believe that was, because we were announcing it on Wednesday morning.
When he was at the border, did you notice that he kept wiping his eye and he was coughing into his hand a lot and then shaking hands with somebody? Did you notice that?
I do notice from time, but he moves so slowly. He's almost like a robot.
Yeah, he was wiping his eye a lot, and then he was coughing into his hand, and then he'd put his hand into his pocket, and he'd pull out a tissue and rub his hand in the tissue and put it back.
Mm-hmm.
See, just...
Yeah.
It's right there. But,
yeah, I mean, he's...
Why didn't they say he's okay upstairs, yeah, but he's got a cold.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Brezhnev had a cold for years.
Yes. We hadn't seen him for years. I remember that.
He was laying in a coffin
with a
cold.
And then one day the cold killed him, didn't it?
Yeah, finally.
Long-term cold. So, anyway, so that's going on. I want to talk to you about, you like coffee, don't you? Ed, let me ask you this. When you get up in the morning.
It's not a necessity.
Do you have coffee every morning?
No. Like this morning, I said, no, I don't want any.
Okay.
And then this morning, so I gotta have some.
I can't remember the last morning I didn't have coffee.
No.
It's an absolute, like, breathing out, breathing in for me.
Right.
Now, the question is, you hear good and bad. Mostly, I think mostly good about coffee these days, you know. But the question is, should you drink coffee first thing in the morning? When you get up, like, should you have the coffee already being made as you're awaking, you know, and you have your coffee pot maybe on a timer?
I need coffee after the shower.
There you go.
I don't want to do that.
I don't either. Coffee in the morning is a ritual for many people, but is it ever too early in the a.m. to indulge? Brewing a cup or a pot of coffee as soon as you wake up might not give you the biggest energy boost throughout the day, according to sleep experts. This is a UK-based doctor, Deborah Lee, and she says that drinking coffee first thing in the morning might not be the best bet. She says when you wake up, your stress hormone cortisol level, which is a hormone that enhances alertness and focus, as well as regulates your metabolism and your immune system response, when you wake up, that is at its peak, okay? She says elevated levels of cortisol, as in coming from coffee at that point, may impact your immune system. And if they're already at their peak when waking up, drinking coffee as soon as your eyes open may do more harm than good and may even make you immune to caffeine over a long period of time. Cortisol follows a rhythm specific to your own sleeping cycle, she said. It peaks within 30 to 45 minutes of waking up and slowly declines throughout the day. I remember my dad once saying, when he was writing, because he was a writer, etc., he said the best time for him to put stuff down on paper was when he woke up in the morning, because your mind is real clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you need to remember anything, when you wake up in the morning, your mind is so clear that if you focus in on that, there's a good chance you'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think there's some truth to that. You haven't bogged your mentality down with all kinds of things going on in your life when you first wake up. So, I guess what she is saying is wait a little while before you have a cup of coffee. Which I do. No. Which I don't have my coffee, frankly, until I've had a little bit of something to eat. And I don't have any coffee when I do my show.
No.
The first time I take a sip of coffee is in the car driving in.
If I'm hungover. Then,
well, do you have it sooner?
It's been a while, but if I'm hungover, then I'm fumbling for coffee first.
Well, you know what they say about somebody drinking coffee that's been drinking a lot, all you get from that is a wide awake drunk.
Yeah, well.
Now, of course, you're talking about the next morning.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's not like, it's still 11 o'clock at night, get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, 7 or 8 hours sleep, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, waking up in the morning and not feeling good, a BC powder and coffee usually did the trick.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that was my routine on Saturday night after working at the club till 3 a.m. and then having to be up at 8 a.m.
For
tailgating.
Yeah.
So you got like maybe 4 hours sleep.
So when you were doing all of that, and I remember you doing it at New York, you were great. But when you got through that night, Had you been drinking while you were doing
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, my God. And then you had to get up at like 5 hours later?
Yeah. I would be up at 8, and then I'd have to pick my friend up on the way to the stadium. And then we were there by about 9 in the morning. Tailgating started at 9.
Wow. You must have been... How did you feel at that point?
Well, once you get past the first couple of shots at tailgating, everything's cake after that.
Got it. All right. And you were drinking coffee at that point?
No. There was no, the coffee was very early, as soon as I woke up to get me going.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Coffee and a BC powder. Yeah, that gets you on your way.
All right, sir. Well, let's do this. Let's take our final break. We're going to talk a little bit about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis when we come back. And also, we're going to give you the top 10 ballparks, talking about taking in something, the top 10 ballparks with the cheapest hot dog prices.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Work. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Yeah, live. Ed and I doing the show. I love to have you when you can make time for us. But if you're busy, and we understand, 10 o'clock in the morning, lots to do. Thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on podcast. So you can go to our website at your leisure, anytime, day or night. Click on OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks, all one word, .com. And our website opens up, and at the very top, you'll see the podcast button. Click on it. Ed's got all our shows. Most recent show at the top, you'll see who the guest is and the topic with the guest, and you'll also see our top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, we should mention, normally we have our buddy Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, joining us on Fridays, but he was at a funeral this morning of a friend of his. He called me this morning before I left for the studio, and so we miss him, but we certainly salute him, and we'll, I'm sure, be talking with him next week.
Hey, before you hit your top 10, I thought about this the other day, because it's not, you know, we are always talking about Trump and Biden possibly having a debate that's never going to happen. What if we put the media against each other in a debate? Because pretty much Fox is on Trump's side, and then you've got the Communist News Network and the other one on the other side. And we'll get, we'll have, I don't know, have, we have to come up with a moderator for that. But we put one on one side, and they could show clips of them lying to each other.
Okay.
You know, CNN with all this, like, oh, there's a bit of a resurrection in the...
Oh, that would descend into anarchy rather quickly. Though? Yeah, it would probably be a good... it would bring the popcorn kind of a moment.
Because one side denies so much. You know, they oh, that's not happening. You know, the border's not a big deal. And there's millions of people coming through the border or whatever. But, and then, you know, Fox tends to bend a few things here and there. But I think it would be funny to watch.
I think it would be interesting.
You know, you'd probably have like your guy Jesse Waters on the panel, and Judge Jeanine. I think she'd be good.
Yes.
I don't know. And then on the other side, you got your Richard Madow.
Rachel Madow, yes.
I don't know who else is on there.
I don't remember. Care. They've been coming and going.
The guy with the thick glasses that makes himself look like he's smart.
Okay,
but he can read a.
I don't know, but yeah, you know, it's an idea. It's an event.
Did you happen to see when they were at the border yesterday how big the teleprompter was for Biden?
Yeah, it's got to be big.
It was the screen that you've got in there.
Oh wow, that's pretty big.
It was the screen. It was a regular TV.
Yeah, I believe it.
That they scrolled it on.
Speaking about that, you're going to find this interesting, Ed. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy revealed for the first time Wednesday that Biden uses note cards, even in private meetings.
I heard that.
With small groups of people. He said this. He still has a teleprompter when you meet behind closed doors. He said, but the teleprompter are his cards.
Right.
He says, I found that when I met with him, it would just be a couple of cards.
Yeah.
And he would read from the card. He said that it was difficult for him, McCarthy, to deviate from Biden during private negotiations because it knocked Biden off his game.
If it wasn't on the card, you couldn't get it done.
He almost wouldn't respond to you.
Right.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
He says, McCarthy says, he just sticks to the cards. And if you deviate, he can't continue onward. What? He said, look, he has served the country regardless whether you like it or not. I respect the man for serving the country. I thank him for that service. But he is not of the age that is best to be able to serve in the presidency, especially the position that he is going forward with that. And in other words, you know, his time has come and gone. All right? So he said, I've known Biden for a long time, and he's no longer the same man as he was in previous years. So we know that. Everybody knows it.
And it's declining faster and faster.
It is noticeably. And I think just the pressure of being in that job makes it decline.
It used to be a monthly thing. I think it's almost daily now.
You can see it. It's getting much, much worse. Now, real quickly, Ron DeSantis, our governor in Florida, approving a new law that allows secret grand jury testimony in cases that meet specific criteria that can now be made public, including, as an example, evidence against Jeffrey Epstein, who died 5 years ago. He said the law is limited to cases in which the suspect is dead and the crimes involve sexual misdeeds against minors. It will take effect July the 1st. He says, I did say during the presidential campaign that the federal Epstein files should be released, and I was committed to do that. Well, that makes sense. All right. So it is time, Ed, for our top 10. And I think you're going to enjoy this one because you're a big-time baseball fan, Ed. And you enjoy a hot dog just like everybody else does from time to time. So we have found the top 10 cheapest ballpark for a hot dog. And I want to see if you'll know what is number one. So you got to listen to the other nine. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. And by the way,
these baseball parks?
Yes, these are only baseball parks. Mm. Yes, sir. And, you know, we're coming into the baseball season in a couple of months. Anyway, this is from USA Today, all right? So here we go. Number 10. You go to the White Sox game. Right. Guaranteed Rate Field. What a stupid name for a park. I loved Comiskey Park. But Guaranteed Rate Field. Your hot dog will cost you $5.49.
Good Lord.
And that's one of the cheapest, okay? Number 9. and so overwhelmed with that that he can't even roll the drum.
I was checking to see if I had enough money. Go ahead.
Number nine is Pittsburgh. The Pirates, they have PNC Park. You only pay $4.85 for your hot dog at PNC Park. Number eight. You have to go up to Toronto and Rogers Center Park. Your hot dog will be $4.65. I guess it's Canadian. I don't know. Hmm. Number seven. Back in the U.S., Philadelphia Phillies Citizens Bank Park, $4.63 for your hot dog. Number six. Over to Cleveland and the famous Cleveland Guardians Progressive Field. You'll pay $4.50 for your hot dog. Please add ketchup. Number four. You actually have a tie. That's why I said four. There's two of them. Seattle Mariners T-Mobile Park and Milwaukee Brewers American Family Field. They all have sponsors now. Is that why they have these strange names? They get millions of dollars from the sponsors for putting their names on the parks.
Well, that's always been that way. What, are you kidding me?
Well, not always, but you're right. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you go to Seattle or Milwaukee, your cost for a hot dog is $4 even. $4 even. All right. And we have another one, another tie. So number two, we have two teams. Minnesota Twins at Target Field and the Atlanta Braves at Truist Park. You ever been to the Atlanta Park?
No.
I have. Mm. I saw Hank Aaron there. He was literally walking along with an entourage of people.
I was at the old Fulton County Stadium.
Well, this goes back for me quite a few years, but Hank Aaron was
when the Falcons used to play in the same place.
And by the way, when one of our contingent went up to him, had the courage to come up and ask for an autograph, he handed him a little slip of paper, and it basically says, you can contact this number, and they will send you an He doesn't do autographs. He didn't do autographs. He's no longer alive, but he didn't do autographs. And I watched as he got into an elevator there, and the door slowly closed. Mm. Anyway, in Minnesota and Atlanta, your cost for a hot dog, $3.99, exactly one penny less than if we went to Milwaukee or Seattle for a $4 hot dog. All right, Ed, what do you think is the number one? And let me tell you. Let me tell you that it's only $3 at this particular park to get a hot dog. What park do you think it is? Did I hear a ball just get hit by a bat?
Yeah.
That was cool.
I'm going to say, how about Comiskey in Chicago?
Well, if you've been listening, it was number 10 was Comiskey.
Oh, man.
I'll give you a mulligan. You want to try another place?
It ain't the Rays.
It's closer to us than Comiskey. In fact, it's real. It's not real close, but it's real close. How's that sound?
Atlanta, I would say, is real close. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's Miami. Miami Marlins Lone Depot Park. $3 for a hot dog if you go to the Miami Marlins.
Okay,
game.
So we're just going. Okay, so this I didn't realize it was just the cheapest.
Yeah.
Well, the thing could be never mind. I want to say that, but it could be a pretty raunchy hot dog.
I hope it's okay. Yeah. I don't want to die from eating a hot dog in Miami.
7-Eleven hot dog.
All right. Thanks so much. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Drive carefully and remember, freedom works. Something's going.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kaif, and blizzard conditions are part of a snowstorm that's expected to dump several feet.